Good afternoon, everyone. The title of this message is Line on a Paper. So let's start by everyone taking a piece of paper and putting a line down the middle of it. So on the first side of the paper, we are going to put the heading spiritual. And on the other side of the paper, we are going to label this physical. So let's start filling it out on the spiritual side. We can start with our belief and trust in God. How strong is our faith? Our calling? Do we have the same zeal, the same desire that we had when we were first called? Prayer and meditation. How much time and effort do we devote to our speaking with, thinking about God? Reading and studying? Again, how much time and effort do we put into this? Being part of the church. Do we even understand what the church is? Our relationship with our brethren. Fasting. So you get the idea. Let's start filling out in the physical side of the paper. Physical family. What is our relationship with those we are joined to by blood? Physical friends. What is our relationship with friends in the world? Should we have a relationship with friends in the world? Work and jobs. Do we work to live or do we live to work? What is our dedication in this area? Schooling and education. I struggle with this one. I find very little positive to say about the educational system in this world. I think it's totally against God and totally perverted, but everybody has their own opinion. Activities. What are our hobbies, our activities? What do we do, you know, to unwind, to do things? Entertainment. Once again, I struggle with this one. Sometimes I find myself watching or listening to things, and I'm saying, what are you doing, Greg? This is not a good thing. Politics. Should we be involved with politics at all? Well, no. News. Can we believe anything we hear? Very little. The desires and the lust of this world seem to consume us in all these areas, which brings us to attitudes towards others. Are we having the right attitude towards brethren, towards people in the world? So you can see where we are going. I can't see everyone's paper, but if your lists are like mine, the physical side is filling up much more than the spiritual side. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, and we'll begin in verse 11. 1 Corinthians 2, and we'll read 11 through 16. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When we look at our paper, can we judge both sides with spiritual discernment? Do we have the mind of Christ? So as we look at the paper, what's the main thing wrong? Is it that there are more on the physical side than the spiritual? That certainly could be and probably is a problem. But that's not the main thing what's wrong with our paper. The main thing that's wrong with our paper is the line. There should be no line. Everything we do, everything we believe should have no separation, no division in the way we live our lives. We should spend more time in praying, meditation, fasting, reading, and studying. Yes, there is no question about it. But the main thing is no matter what it is we are doing, We must always do it in a way that is following God's way of life. Please turn to James. James 1. And here in James 1, we are going to read 22 through 25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Are we deceiving ourselves? Do we show up once a week on the Sabbath, spend a little time each day in reading or studying? And this is our Christian life, what we do to be set apart? And when we go to work, go to school, go to a movie, a ball game, read a book, go to a concert, turn on the TV, the computer, the smartphone, any other electronic device you can think of, do we forget what kind of person we are supposed to be, called to be? Please turn to James once again, and we'll go on in 1. James 1, and we'll read 5-8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Do we depend on God? Put in practice his way of life in everything we do? Are we true ambassadors, true representatives of our God? Or as we are told here in James, are we double-minded, acting, behaving in two different ways when it comes to the spiritual and the physical? When we look at our paper, do we see things that we act differently to? Or whatever the situation, whatever the person, we always face it in a godly way. Over the years, I have changed my mind on what it is that is the main reason that causes brethren to stumble. I used to think it was, and is, that we don't treat one another with enough love. That's true. We don't begin to love one another as Christ and the Father loves us. We don't begin to sacrifice, be there for one another. We've let the separation, we've let too many things get in our way of being the body we are called to be. I began to think that there's is not the right leadership to bring us together in a common bond. That's true. Very few are pointing us to the Father, teaching us to follow Christ. Make no mistake about it. Most of the leadership in the church is pointing brethren to follow them. They are doing what's right in their own eyes. Sadly, the same is about set can be said about all of us. We are all doing what's right in our own eyes. I thought that it's just not real to too many, that too many give it lip service about how they believe, but they don't really. It's just not real to them. They can't picture the Father and the Son sitting in heaven surrounded by untold number of angels. And that's true. Too many believe in, trust in the physical world around them. The spiritual is just not real to them. But what is the biggest reason so many struggle, so many stumble? Is this physical life is more important to them than the spiritual life that God has promised to us that waits just ahead? They are not willing to make the sacrifices to others ahead of themselves, to put God before themselves. They are not willing to do what it takes, what God tells us we must do. Please turn to Hebrews. Hebrews 10, Here in Hebrews 10, we will read 32 through 39. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Are we still willing to endure and not draw back? When you read on in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, we read of the acts of faith, of sacrifice, of courage in God. Have any of us been tested in such a manner? Is our hope, our trust, our faith in God? These, all their faith was in God, even though they struggled many, many more times than we have had to endure. Why is this physical life more important to so many? Please turn to Revelation. Revelation 3. And we will read Revelation 3:17. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. We are so spoiled, so deceived into believing that all these materialistic things that surround us are a blessing. We have been convinced that this way of life is the way that God wants us to live. God intended his people to be farmers, to be ranchers, to live off the ground, to follow the sky, to follow God, to depend on one another, to help one another. This instant gratification, this instant everything, this materialistic world is not a blessing. It is a curse. Make no mistake about it. This is the Laodicean era. We are poor, blind, naked. But we think we are rich and in need of nothing. We don't need to humble ourselves to God's way of life. We don't need to love one another as Christ loves us. We don't need to gather together all the more as we see the day approach. Please turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, and we'll begin in 1. 1 Corinthians 1, and we'll read 10 through 13. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Cleo's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? You can substitute any name here of the thousands of organizations that claim to be the church. I am of Living. I am of United. I am of, on and on and on. These organizations are made by men for men. And the only thing that they have to do with the church is that they are stumbling blocks. They are something physical to take our minds away from where they should be. They are not the church. We are the church. The brethren are the body. Jesus Christ is the head of God's church. And the organizations are not the only ones to blame. Too many brethren have decided that they are going to separate themselves from the body. Work on themselves. Build a stronger relationship with God, they say. Just the opposite of what we are here for. We are not here for ourselves. We are here for one another. We are here for God. Please turn to 1 John. 1 John 4. Here in 1 John 4, we will read 20 and 21. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. We're going to build a relationship with God. Our faith based on what we can't see. We know God's there, but still, our brother's right here next to us. We see his needs. We see how we need to be there for one another, how we need to fellowship for one another, help one another. And we're going to build a relationship with God without building a relationship with one another. The only way to build a strong relationship with God is by building stronger relationships with our brethren, to be there for one another, to edify one another, to sacrifice for the body. This is how we draw closer to God. But once again, the only way to do this is to receive the strength, the knowledge, and most importantly, the love to do all this from God. And that is a spiritual act. But too many need, want something physical to hold on to believe in. This physical is more real to them, more important to them. When all the splits in the church happened, it gave too many another excuse not to be with one another, to serve one another. Fellowship, friendships that had been for years, decades, were split because you didn't go with my guy. You didn't go with my group. I don't want to be with any group. I'm going to stay home. It was an excuse not to be there for one another. And now with this stupid coronavirus, it's given too many another excuse to further divide us. But the worst by far is the attitude that has happened from all this. Is when you talk to brethren about all this, it's not that rather they think all of this is a sign of the end of times, but they don't want it to be. They want it to go back to the way it was. They want to go back to Egypt, enjoying this physical world, not wanting it to come to an end, but rather wanting it to go on. I very much believe we're seeing all the signs of the end of this age, but I don't know that for sure. But should we not want it to be? Pray that it is? And so if it is still sometime in the future, is that what we should be thinking? We just got back from a trip to the Midwest where we visited brethren, and we were talking about the timetable for the plan of God. Now, I believe there is a period of 6,000 years allotted to man. And one of the brethren we were visiting had counted up the years that man had been here, and he reached the number 6,020. Others that have counted have reached higher and lower numbers, but many have been over the 6,000 years. Now, I've heard many explanations why this might be so, but the brethren I was visiting with had a different reason that I had not heard before. He thinks the time for the 6,000 years did not start when Adam and Eve were created, but rather when they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Depending on when they were kicked out, this could change when the 6,000 years would start and would end. I don't know if this is true or not. I need to study it. I think it's interesting. It's something good to talk about. It gets you studying more, figure out things and stuff. But what I do know is that it should not matter. Two things come to mind. Please turn to Luke. Luke 12. Here in Luke 12, we will read 16 through 21. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What if time does go on? What if this is not the end of the age? What if it's the end of your life? What if you die holding on to this life rather than reaching for the life ahead? What if you die not in the faith? Have we laid up physical treasures for ourselves, or have we laid up treasures towards God? Please turn to Psalms. Psalms 39. Here in Psalms 39, we will read 4 through 7. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor, Selah. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Do we know how frail we are? Where is our hope? Is our hope in the Lord? Is our hope in this physical world? I believe that the older you get, the more some things become clear. When you're a child, you don't think about of getting older at all. When you're in your 20s, you're invincible. Your 30s find you too busy concerned with building this physical life. Your 40s do give you your first taste of what happens to this body as it gets older. But your 50s are when you realize you can't do everything you used to. And now that I'm in my 60s, the aches and pains are telling me this body is wearing out. Those of you in your 70s, 80s, 90s, and older, I can only imagine how real these scriptures are to you, how you long for a spiritual body, how you long to see God. Please turn to James. James 4. Here in James 4, we will read 13 and 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know that what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Our life's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Here today, gone tomorrow. I said there were two things that came to mind when I was talking to my friend about if this was the end of the age or not. And the second thing that comes to mind is, what is our desire? What is our hope? Do we want this physical life, or do we want the life that waits ahead? Eternal life with our Heavenly Father, our elder brother. Please turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3. Here in 2 Peter 3, we will read verses 11 through 13. Therefore, since all things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Do we look for the hastening of the coming of the day of God? Are we looking for the new heavens and new earth? Is this our prayers? Is this our hope? Thy kingdom come? Do we burn with the zeal for the return of our Savior, to be with our Heavenly Father? Do we have the same passions when we first came to the church? Do we have the same thirst for the truth, the knowledge? Do we look to be with God? (Clears throat) So, brethren, as we look at our paper, if yours is like mine, there are many things I need to change and to work on. On both sides of the paper, both physical and spiritual, there are many things that I do not do in a godly way that I should. There are many things that I probably should give up physically, and many, many more things that I should turn to spiritually. What is important to us? Is physical life or the life ahead? In closing, please turn to Matthew. Matthew 6. Here in Matthew 6, we will read verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.